I remember an article from 2016 describing the year as a dumpster fire. And I thought that was kind of funny. My friends on social media, they all were really grateful that the year was over by the end of it because of all the things that had been going on. But I kind of wonder how they would feel today at the end of 2017, whether they would feel any better about it. A lot of hard things have happened over the year. A lot of hurricanes in the Western Hemisphere that have wreaked havoc. Mass shootings like we haven't quite seen before. And, you know, not all of it's bad. Certainly it seems like the economy is on the uptick a little bit. And then you get the little surprises, like when the pastor wears the same thing as the worship leader on Christmas Eve. But there's difficult things that our nation and the world has been facing. There's certainly the exposure of some of our cultural and political leaders for all the abuse that has come out. And the list, it seems to go on and on. Just found out today that Tom Brady has thrown 6 more interceptions than he did last year. Star Wars fans are divided about this new movie. No spoilers, I promise. But all kidding aside, 2017 has been kind of dark. It's been pretty difficult. You know, it's strange that the Christmas story is always set at night. We don't actually know whether the Christmas story happened at night. There's a few things that suggest it. The shepherds, they encounter the angel at night, and the magi, they follow the star, probably likely at night as well. And in all the scenes and all the pictures, we see it set at night. And that isn't necessarily to evoke a bad thing. Certainly there are very peaceful and calm feelings that come from night imagery. It's nice and calm. The buzz of the world, it kind of settles down. But there's also a little bit of irony to this night setting during the Christmas scene, because when Jesus was born, it was set in a time of history called the Pax Romana. That means the peace of Rome. But that kind of peace, that was a little bit different. There were no wars going on, major wars throughout the world and the Roman Empire, but that peace that was enforced by violence. And people didn't feel like there was a whole lot of peace going on during that time. There's a line from one of my favorite movies, The Avengers, where Samuel L. Jackson's character says, "Yeah, you say peace, but I kind of think you mean the other thing." Darkness evokes fear in us. It's that burglar sniffing around upstairs, or it's the monster underneath the bed. It brings uncertainty to us. That's why we use expressions like, I was just in the dark about that, because we can't see, we can't understand in the dark. Darkness brings fear, it brings uncertainty, and we don't feel safe. We don't feel safe in darkness. Peace brings something different. The past month we've been talking about peace in different circumstances through our Advent series. And we don't want the kind of peace that's just order. We don't want that kind of peace. We want the kind of peace that brings well-being. Because darkness also brings sadness. There's actually a word for that. Seasonal affective disorder, or SAD for short. When the days get shorter, when the amount of daylight that we're exposed to becomes less and less, it starts to affect our emotions. We get depressed. So we don't want the peace of the world that's just orderly. We want the peace of God that brings well-being, that brings wholeness. That's what God brings. He brings safety when we feel afraid. When we don't understand, he brings understanding. And when we feel sad, God's peace brings joy. That's what we want. But can we have it in the midst of darkness when our world seems to be breaking apart, seems to be at the hinges everywhere we go? Well, we can find that answer in the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. If you happen to have brought a Bible, I invite you to open it up. We'll have the scripture up on the screen as well. This is the Christmas story of the shepherds. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Now, I want to kind of step in the sandals of the shepherds for just a minute to try to kind of recreate or imagine what it would have felt like. Sometimes we see angelic encounters in the Bible, and the people that the angels appear to, they aren't afraid. Sometimes they don't even know that it's an angel that they're talking to. But in this instance, the shepherds, they're terrified. Now, they could have just been startled. Or maybe they saw that bright light, that glory shining around this angel, and they thought, "Oh, there's the Romans with their torches." Maybe another shepherd said, "Oh, my field is on fire." But I think maybe it just went a little bit deeper than that. Because the problem is that we get complacent with the darkness. We get used to it. We start to think, well, it's not the best thing, but I suppose that it could be worse. And maybe the shepherds were thinking the same thing. They saw this bright light. They saw this angel appear, and they had grown tired of all of the hope. They'd grown tired of hoping and hoping. And they said to themselves, "Well, this is just the way it is. This is just the way it's always going to be. I don't want to buy into that hope anymore." And we feel the same way too when we see another mass shooting on television, when we see something, another person come out who's abused a woman on television. Part of us becomes cynical. Part of us just kind of accepts it as the way it is. There's nothing that we can do about it. There's no change that will happen. It's just the way it's supposed to be. Well, this one angelic appearance turns into an army of angels before their eyes. Let's see how it continues. "Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Now, you can imagine, if you kind of step into the shoes of the shepherds again, one of them said, "Did that really happen?" Another one says, "You mean those glowing people standing there telling us about peace and telling us about the Savior? Yeah, I saw that. Do you think the peace? They said something about peace on earth. Do you think that peace, that could be real? Do you think he was talking about the real thing? Do you think that means the Romans are going to disappear? Does that mean that we're not going to be hungry anymore? Does that mean the wolves aren't going to attack our sheep? Does that mean that there's going to be no more pain? Do you think it could be true?" Another one shrugs his shoulders. Another one says, I don't know. "Well, let's go see this thing that the Lord has told us about." Another one nods his head. Another one says, "Yeah, let's go see this thing." Now, the shepherds could have easily mistook what the angel says here. The angels say, "Peace on earth." So the angels could have thought, surely this is the time when everything is going to be made right, when the whole world is going to be made brand new. But the angel doesn't stop there. The angel says, "Peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests." The angel didn't promise peace to the entire world, not here and not yet, but peace to those on whom his favor rests, peace to those who would welcome the peace child in. What happens in the next few verses is that the shepherds, they go and they find this manger and they find Jesus laying there. They find everything as the angel told them, and they were amazed. They go and they share the good news with the people in the village. Mary treasures these things in her heart, and this is how the passage ends in verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds did the exact same thing that the angels did just a few verses earlier. The angels left glorifying and praising God. And the shepherds, they leave glorifying and praising God. What do you mean? The world has not been fixed. The Romans are still there with their iron fist. Everything has not been right. What's so good about what you just saw? It saw Jesus. They found Christ. And they welcomed him in, and they found peace. One of my favorite Christmas Eves ever really had very little to do with Christmas. My aunt owned an assisted living facility, and we decided to do something different than all the traditions. We didn't open presents. We didn't have a meal like you normally have. We went down and we sang Christmas carols. I was learning guitar, playing guitar, trying to sing some carols and sharing the love of Christ and the hope that I'd found. And we walked away from that experience feeling full, feeling like our hearts were alive. There was something different about it. Even though all of the great things about Christmas we didn't partake of that night, we still found something good and something meaningful in our experience of sharing Christ. And it was enough. So the disciples said on the road to Emmaus when they had seen the risen Jesus, they said, "Were not our hearts burning when we heard him speak?" And that's how I felt. I felt his peace come alive in me, even though the world wasn't perfect. And then on our way back, as we were walking block by block, I saw an old friend who had hurt me badly, a friend who I'd hurt in return. And that relationship had not been made right. And we said, "Merry Christmas" to each other. And we walked on past. And normally in those circumstances, I would have taken that and it would have twisted my emotions and would have turned my entire day. But for some reason, during that night, the peace of Christ made all the difference. And when I said Merry Christmas, I said it genuinely. And I felt real peace. Not necessarily a restored relationship. The darkness was still there, and that would take several years to restore. But I felt Christ's peace help me to rise above the circumstance, to help me to see and enjoy God's goodness in that moment. Chances are that you have experienced some darkness and some dark season in your life as well. You know, perhaps you're struggling with a family member or some fear, some broken relationship. Perhaps darkness has touched you personally, and you don't know what to do about it. But peace can over Christ's peace, the light that comes from Christ's peace. It's above circumstances. It's above conflict. Peace isn't necessarily us agreeing with one another. It's finding God's rest and finding an ability to talk with one another, even when we disagree. Peace surpasses understanding. It helps us to get through all of these circumstances. And we can find Christ's peace. We can find peace in the midst of darkness when we let the light of Christ into our lives as well. Would you stand with me? I'm going to have you grab your candles. In just a moment, we're going to be singing Silent Night, and we're going to be passing the light of Christ to one another. If when you pass your candle, if you would reach out to your neighbor whose candle is lit and try to keep your candles straight up, that would be great. Silent night. Holy night. All is calm. All is bright. You ever notice that strange lyric? The setting is night. But the song says that all is bright. That's like our lives. There's often darkness all around us. But when we focus on the light, when we focus on the hope that Christ brings, the one who brings us peace, the one who can give us that heavenly peace, he makes all the dark disappear. Like that. All is bright. All is bright.